Go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel, chapter 22. 2 Samuel, chapter 22. Now, I want to tell you, I'm going to be reading from some of the Psalms today, too. But what we're going to see is 2 Samuel 22 is actually echoed in Psalm 18. Some of the exact same words that we see, King David say in Psalm 18 are the words he actually spoke in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And we're going to be looking at King David's praise to God and praise for God. I almost wish I put my tennis shoes on this morning because I was ready to start running. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, that praise this morning, right? I believe you were singing from your hearts. I love the sound that was coming from your lips, but what was better than that was just the feeling that I had of worship this morning. And so I want to talk to you about praise. First of all, listen to what God's Word says in Psalm 147. In Psalm 147, verse 1, the Bible says, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him." That's what I love about coming together on Sunday mornings as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what I love about these songs that we sing. Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God. King David says it is pleasant and it is fitting to praise God. And in the Old Testament, let me just talk to you about this word praise. In the Old Testament, the word praise in the Hebrew language, it means to bless, it means to boast in, or to exalt one. And so when we praise God, that's what we're doing. We're blessing God. That's a fitting, right? That's a fitful blessing. It's blessing God. Also to boast in. We boast in God. We don't boast in ourselves. We boast in God and we exalt Him. We exalt Him. In the New Testament, in the Greek language, in the New Testament, that word praise, it's a lot like the Hebrew word for praise. It means to glorify, it means to honor, and it means to bless or to thank. And so when we praise God with our words, when we praise God with our songs, it is a blessing to Him. It is our opportunity, right? Not just to be blessed by God, but it is our opportunity to give God that blessing back. It's our opportunity to say, thank you, God, for who you are, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what we know you're going to do. In one of those songs, it talked about God's faithfulness, right? All my life, He has been faithful. I can say that. I can say that personally from my life. God has been faithful. Even when I have not been faithful, my God has been faithful. And we've seen that in King David's life. We've been studying 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel for months now. And there have been a lot of highs and there have been a lot of lows and there's been a lot of in between. But I'm just going to tell you something. Every good promise that God made to King David, He kept it. God is the promise keeper. When He makes a promise, He keeps it. He is faithful to King David. Do you know that Greek word praise in the New Testament? It's actually the word halal. Halal. And that is where we get our word hallelujah. So when you sing hallelujah, or when you say hallelujah, that Greek word for praise, it means praise to the Lord. That's what the word hallelujah means. So here's the thing. You can't give hallelujah to no one else. Hallelujah is for God. It is for the Lord. It means praise to the Lord, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel. One of my favorite songs right now is a song by Brandon Lake. And Brandon Lake sings this song, "That's Who I Praise." Has anybody heard that one? Right? "That's Who I Praise." I'm going to tell you, that'll put a little pep in your step, okay? If you're feeling sorry for yourself, are you kind of feeling down about your circumstances? If the devil is trying to distract you, if the devil is trying to discourage you, if the devil is trying to defeat you, start singing this song. "That's Who I Praise." Listen to what he says in the song. He says, "I want to dance like David. I want a faith like Paul. I want to sing like Silas, tearing down the prison walls." He said, "I want to face that fire. It won't burn me, though. God's got my back just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He says, I'm going to praise. I praise the mountain moving, body raising, breaker of chains. I'm going to praise. I praise the heaven seated, undefeated, the highest of names. That's who I praise. I'm going to tell you, that's a good song. Let me tell you why I believe that's a good song, because he quotes scripture. He's quoting scripture. And so listen, it's not like God needs to hear it again, because God spoke it. God wrote it. But I love this because he's saying, God, I hear what you're saying and I believe it for me today. I don't just believe it for David. I don't just believe it for Paul. I don't just believe it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because what you did for them in the Bible, you have done for me and you continue to do for me. See, here's what I believe we need to do as a church today. We need to stop just reading the Bible and start believing the Bible. I think there's so many people today who are reading it. Oh, I read that book. Oh, I've read my Bible through. But do you believe what the Word says? Do you believe what the Word says for you right here, right now? And I just believe that's what's wrong with so many of us today. We're buying devotional after devotional after devotional, thinking we can get something new or something better or something that will work. I'm going to tell you something. This is it right here. There ain't no better. This is it. This is the best. This is God, his voice to you and to me. And I'm going to tell you, that's why I praise. I praise because what he said in here was not just 2,000 years ago for that man or that woman or that person or that group. It's for me. I believe that. And so that's why I praise. And so this morning, I want to ask you two questions. And I believe these two questions, we're going to see it in King David's life. Number one, when it comes to praise, is your praise persistent or is it passive? Think about that question. Is your praise persistent or is it passive? Because here's what the word persistent means. Persistent means continuous without regard to circumstance or outside force. Persistent means, right? Consistent, it means to continue without regard to circumstance or outside force. Is your praise persistent or is it passive? You know what that word passive means? That word passive means inactive. It means it takes a back seat when this happens or when that happens. Let me ask you another question. Maybe this will fit. Is your praise intentional or is it incidental? Is your praise intentional or is it incidental? And what I mean by that is, are you praising God whether anybody sees you or hears you or not? Or are you praising God because everybody's watching? Is your praise intentional or is it incidental? Are you only praising God when everything good is going on? Is that the only time you're praising? Because if that's the case, that's called incidental praise. Intentional praise is this. God, I'm going to praise you right here, right now. And I'm going to praise you all day, no matter how hard the enemy attacks me. I'm going to praise you standing up. And if I'm flat on my back because I got knocked down, I'm going to praise you. Is your praise persistent or is it passive? Is it intentional or is it incidental? I believe we're going to see that in the scriptures today. And listen, I'm not asking you these questions to embarrass you or to embarrass me or to make us feel less than. I'm asking these questions because I believe we need to regain our focus and we need to remember who we are in King Jesus, who we are in Christ. King David went through some highs and he went through some lows in this life. There were times when King David was lifted up and there were some times when King David was knocked down. He was brought down low. But what we see in King David's life, especially through 1 and 2 Samuel, is that he was persistent with his praise. He was intentional with his praise for God. And that is how we should live. That is what we should strive for. God, help me be a person of persistent praise. Help me be a person of intentional praise for you. Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of who's watching or who's not watching. God, I just want to praise you I want to praise you when I'm by myself. I don't want to praise you when I'm with everybody else. I want to praise you in the dark, and I want to praise you in the light. I want to praise you on the mountain, and I want to praise you in the valley. I just want to praise you, God. That's who I praise, and that's why I praise. Listen to this, 2 Samuel. You're already there? 2 Samuel chapter 22. Now, this is a long chapter, and I'm not going to try to read every verse, but I'll tell you this, every verse is praise to God. Every verse. But let's look at the first six verses right now. 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 6. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people, you save me. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me." Now, I'm going to tell you, these first six verses, we see a lot. We hear a lot from King David. But let's talk about his praise. In this passage, King David praises God for deliverance. He praises God for deliverance. Let me ask you a question. Has God delivered you? Has God delivered you? If you're a child of God today, if you have repented of your sin and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, first and foremost and most importantly, He has delivered you from His wrath. He's delivered you from eternal death in hell. I'm going to tell you something. God is worthy of our praise for that. Because when no one else and nothing else could deliver us, God did through Jesus Christ. I've been telling y'all along, King David is not the Savior of Israel. King Jesus is. I'm going to tell you today, there ain't no president, there ain't no government that's going to save America. Only God can save America, and it comes through King Jesus. Amen. When you put your faith and your trust in anyone other than Jesus Christ, you put your faith and trust in a false God. A God that can't keep promises and a God that can't deliver. God is worthy of our praise because He has delivered us from His wrath. He's delivered us. Listen, you and I, we deserve the cross. We deserve the death. We deserve His wrath because all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We are sinners. But thank God. And Brother Andy's saying, he's prayed it just a few minutes ago, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's love demonstrated to you and for you. God is worthy of our praise because of deliverance. Now, King David, in these verses, he was very clear. God, you delivered me from the hands of my enemies. And I'm going to tell you something. King David had some enemies. He was surrounded by enemies, right? He was surrounded by them. And time after time again, it looked like this was it. King David, there were many times in his own life, he thought, hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And he remembered those promises that God made him. Do you remember? The most important promise God made him was, your kingdom will reign forever. Your kingdom will reign forever. And King David, in those moments when he was about to die, he's probably going, wait a minute. God, didn't you say my kingdom was going to reign forever? Yet I'm about to die at the hands of Saul. And then after Saul, I'm going to die at the hands of the Philistines. And you start naming the groups where David just felt like he was going to die. But guess what? God kept coming through, didn't he? He kept coming through. And that's what King David is praising God for. You have delivered me. I praise you for deliverance. This is about what King David experienced time and time again. And he's continuing to experience. And then if you keep reading in verses 7 through 20, now I'm not going to read this whole passage to you, but I want to tell you something. King David not only praises God for deliverance, he praises God for presence. God's presence. Every time King David cried out to God, God heard him and God answered him. God heard him and God answered him. He praised God for his presence. It was about what God had done, what God was continuing to do. The Bible says that the Lord listened to David. David said, God, you shook the heavens. God, you shook the earth when I spoke to you. He says, God, you scattered my enemies. You routed my enemies. And then he says, God, you reached down and you rescued me. Listen, it wasn't just about delivering him from wrath. It wasn't just about delivering him physically from death. It was about God being with him. I'm going to tell you, so many times we're praising God for the gifts when we should be praising God for the gift, which is his presence. Right? We're like kids at Christmas. We just want to unwrap everything around the tree. That's what we are many times with God, and we forget that there was someone that put them gifts under the tree. And we ought to bask in that, bask in his presence. We ought to give God praise for his presence in our lives. God, when I pray, you hear me. God, when I open up your word, you speak to me. I'm going to tell you, I'm not worthy of that. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve an audience of God. I don't deserve his ear. I don't deserve his voice in my life, but God gives it to me. God gives me his ear. He gives me his voice. He gives me his loving presence. I'm going to tell you, have you praised God for his presence lately? Have you praised God for deliverance lately? Or has it been, oh, thank you for putting money in the bank for me. Thank you for making me physically better. I'm not saying we shouldn't praise God for those things, but I'm saying so many times we praise God for the things in our lives instead of just praising God. And we wonder why we're not experiencing power. Because what happens is, when those things run out or those things disappear, then what happens to our praise? We ain't praising no more. We asking. Hey, God, can you give that to me again? Hey, God, can you do this for me? Hey, God, can you do that? What is your praise life like? Is it persistent? Is it intentional? Or is it passive and incidental? King David gave God praise for deliverance. He gave God praise for presence. And watch this, beginning in verse 21. King David says this, "The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe what happens here is King David praises God for righteousness and faithfulness. Now, hang with me, okay? He praises God for righteousness and faithfulness. Now, if you were to read this out of context, if you were to take these few words out of chapter 22 and not look at all of chapter 22, at first glance and at first ear, it might come across as King David bragging about himself, right? Think about it, right? Thank you for my righteousness. Thank you for my faithfulness. Thank you for me having the law in front of me and keeping the law. That's what it sounds like. But King David understands that the only righteousness he has is God's righteousness in him. The only faithfulness that he can demonstrate is because of the faithfulness that has been given to him by God. And so in correct context, what David is truly saying is, "I can be righteous, God, because you are righteous. I can be faithful, God, because you are faithful." Here's what it means. King David knows who he is. He knows who he is, right? He knows whose he is. He knows why he is. He knows that he is God's anointed king. He knows that he is God's son. He knows that he has been created to glorify God with his life. And that's why he says, "Thank you for righteousness. Thank you for faithfulness." I love what Dr. Tony Evans says. Dr. Tony Evans says this, "David's words do not mean that he thought he was perfect or that he thought he was sinless. Clearly, he was not. And King David knew that. Yet King David sought to honor God over the long haul of his life. When he sinned, he turned to God in repentance. He kept on trusting God to forgive him and sustain him. I love those words by Dr. Tony Evans. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about King David in this passage. And so King David, he understands, he acknowledges that God is his righteousness. God is his faithfulness. And that righteousness and faithfulness is not just something to hold on to, right? It's something to unwrap and to experience. It's something to unwrap and experience. Listen, I love these boxes, right? These are gifts. We know that. These shoe boxes, right? These Christmas shoe boxes, they're going to be sent all over the world. But here's the thing. Right now, it's just a gift unopened. What good is it doing right here on this altar? You tell me, what good is it doing right here on this altar? It's not doing any good at all. So I'm going to take this one that don't have a rubber band around it because it makes it a little bit easier. Here's when it's good. It's when it's opened up, right? It's when it's opened up and that child takes this stuffed animal or takes these shoes or takes these socks and actually puts them on and exercises them and uses them. So here's the thing, right? God is good because he's righteous and because he's faithful. But that righteousness and faithfulness, it's meant to be experienced. It's not meant to just see it in a book and then put it on the shelf. It's not meant to be a little coin in your pocket to pull out here and there whenever you need it. It's something to be lived out loud every day. Live out the righteousness of Christ in your life. Live out the faithfulness of God in your life. You want to know why? Because somebody else needs to see it. Somebody else needs to experience it because somebody else is going through a trial, a trouble, a situation like you have been through, and they need to see that, you know what? God's got me. And I have joy in my heart, even though it's hurting right now. I have light in me, even though there's dark clouds all around me. It's got to be experienced, and I believe that's what King David was talking about right here. He praised God for the righteousness and the faithfulness of God that he possessed, that became his own. That's so important today, church. We need to be a demonstration of God's love to our community. We need to be a demonstration of God's righteousness in our community. We need to be a demonstration of God's faithfulness in our community. Because here's the thing. The community ain't coming in here on Sunday morning and looking for it. They're out there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I'm going to tell you something. They're looking for it. Is the church showing it to them? Are the Christ followers showing it to them? It's all about your praise. Is it persistent? Is it intentional? Or is it passive and incidental? Because I'm going to tell you something. If it's passive and it's incidental, you ain't showing nobody nothing out there. Nothing they can believe. King David finishes off this chapter in these last 21 verses, or last 20 verses, 31 through 50, and King David praises God for victory. So he praised him for deliverance, right? He praised him for presence. He praised him for righteousness and faithfulness. And now he's praising him for victory. King David saw a lot of victory in his lifetime. You know, for us, it's real easy to remember that shepherd boy David when he defeated Goliath. He experienced victory there. And then, you know, when Saul was trying to kill him and David had an opportunity to kill him, David didn't do it. But David became king. He experienced victory. You know, when the Philistines attacked, David experienced victory. We just saw that in the previous chapters, four times, four battles. David kept experiencing victory. God was King David's shield. God was his refuge. God was his strength. That's what he says in this passage. And if you look at verse 47, listen to his lips, right, that are the overflow of his heart. Verse 47 says, "The Lord lives." The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Notice now that the word rock is capitalized. Do you see that? He says, praise be to my rock. He ain't talking about the God that was Abraham's God. He's talking about the God who was his God. He said, my rock. Not my mama's or my daddy's, but mine. He says he lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, the rock, my Savior. So many of us today, we're trying to worship the God of our mama, the God of our daddy, when we need to be worshiping our God. We need to be worshiping our God. And that's why I say this all the time, mamas and daddies, it's so important that you plant seeds of faith in your children. It's so important that you plant the seeds of the gospel message in your children. But at the end of the day, you can't save your children, only God can.
Amen.
And they have to experience a move of the Holy Spirit in their own hearts. And they have to say yes to Jesus, not you for them. But I believe there's so many people in church today that think they're right with God because mom and daddy was right with God. And they keep wondering why their praise is incidental instead of intentional. Or they keep wondering why their praise is passive instead of persistent. Maybe it's because you haven't had a personal experience with Jesus Christ yet. Maybe. What we see in King David, and I'm not going to go too far back, but what we see in King David and in his life is that King David praises God not only on the mountaintops of this life, but also in the valleys of this life. He didn't just praise him when he was on the mountain. He praised him when he was in the valley. He didn't just praise him when the rains were falling in the fields. He praised him in the midst of the famines. We saw that just a few chapters ago, didn't we? He gave God praise and God answered him. We see and hear these praises from King David when he experienced victories over foe after foe after foe. But don't forget, we have already seen King David and what he chose to do when he fasted and prayed for his son that was born to him from Bathsheba. Do I need to remind you what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 12? Do you remember in 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan came to him and said, David, you have sinned against God. You have committed adultery with another man's wife. And not only that, you have helped murder her husband. If you'll remember, Bathsheba was pregnant. Do you remember what King David said? Here's what he said. I have sinned against God. In other words, he confessed with his mouth his sinful condition. What we see because of his actions is we see not just confession, but repentance. He repented of it. He wept over what he had done. He knew that he had broken his God's heart. He knew that he had done something that was against God. And it impacted his kingdom. It impacted his family. It impacted his nation. He would experience that. Because here's what Nathan told him. Nathan told him after he said, I have sinned against God. I have sinned against God. Here's what Nathan told him. Your God has already forgiven you. Isn't that good? Your God's already forgiven you because you've repented of your sin. But here's what he told him. The child that Bathsheba is carrying will die. People read that and they go, how could God? I'm going to tell you something. Sin is serious. And the consequences of sin are serious. And so if you'll remember, King David spent day after day after day fasting and praying for that child. Here's what he said. Who knows? Maybe God will relent. Maybe God will relent. So he fasted and he prayed. King David's men came to him while he was fasting, while he was praying, and they were actually afraid to go in and say something to him. Do you know what happened 7 days later? The baby died. You want to know why? Because when God makes a promise, he keeps it. See, we always think about the promises that work for us and make us, oh yeah! We forget about the promises. God says, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you sin, there will be consequences. But see, here's what I love. King David's praise, it wasn't passive and it wasn't incidental. King David's praise was persistent. And it was intentional, because watch this. The men came in, and David could see that something was wrong, and they wouldn't say it. So King David asked them, is the child dead? And they told him, "Yes, my Lord, he is dead." Are you ready for one of the greatest verses in the Bible? 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. "Then David got up." Those two words mean a whole lot to me today. They ought to mean a lot to you. It says, "Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate." I'm going to tell you something. He confused his men. Because they were like, "Hey, David, what is wrong with you? Like, you fasted and you prayed, you starved yourself to death while your child was alive, and now your child is dead, and you're just going to go right back to eating again? I mean, you going into the house of the..." Like, it blew their minds what he was doing. You want to know why it blew their minds what he was doing? Because the ways of this world run rampant. I mean, the prince of this world is having a heyday right now. He's having a field day with people. And what people are seeing is they're seeing the way the world worships today. Or doesn't. And they're not seeing enough of how a Christ follower can and should worship. King David worshiped the Lord. In other words, he gave God praise. Even in the midst, I'm going to tell you something. Don't minimize this. His child just died. Anybody here lost a child before? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm going to tell you, there ain't much, in my experience, there ain't much that can happen in this world that's greater than losing your child. That's just me, okay? I haven't lived as long as some of you and haven't gone through as much as some of you, but I have lost a child. And there ain't nothing that tears your heart up more than that. Not in my lifetime. Not in my life experience. So don't tell me David wasn't grieving and David wasn't hurting. Because I believe he was. I believe he was grieving and hurting. But he chose. He chose in the midst of the grief and the hurt to give God praise. The world can't handle it. You want me to tell you who else can't handle it? Satan can't handle it either. Satan can't handle you trusting God when it's dark. Satan can't handle you trusting God when the news is bad. Satan can't handle you believing in God when the world around you is falling apart. He can't handle it. You want to know why? Because his whole goal is to steal all the glory from God. His whole goal is to steal all the praise from God. He's wanted that from the very beginning when he was Lucifer. And then he fell, and ain't nothing changed. He still wants all the glory, and he still wants all the praise. And so when you're giving God glory when it hurts, oh, it hurts him. When you're giving God praise when it hurts, it hurts him. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us he can't stand it. He's got to run from it. He flees from it. Listen to what King David said. Psalm 9. I told you I was going to share some psalms with you, okay? Psalm 9 was written after his baby died. Psalm 9, just the first two verses. "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." Do you know what Psalm 9? It was a song. Do you know what song it was put to? The death of the child. There was a song written, "The Death of the Child." And it was about King David. And so when King David wrote Psalm 9, you know what he told his musicians to do? Put this lyric to the song, "The Death of My Child." So what was David thinking about when he said, "God, I'm going to give you praise"? He was thinking about a very dark moment in his life. "I'm going to give you praise." He says, "I will give thanks. I will be glad. I will rejoice. I will sing." So here's what that means. That means David made a choice. You know what that means? That means it was intentional. It wasn't incidental. It didn't just so happen, "Oh, I feel like praising, so I'll just praise." No, it means I may not feel like praising, but I'm going to praise anyway. Can you say that? Can you say that when the news is not good from the medical report? Can you say that when you got more bills than you got money in the bank? Can you say that when the relationship at the house just ain't working? Can you say, even though I don't feel good, I will be glad. I will rejoice. I will give thanks. I will sing praise. See, it's intentional, not incidental. That's persistent, not passive. Listen to this. How many of you love Psalm 51? Most of you, if you love Psalm 51, it's probably because in the middle of that chapter, King David says, create in me a new heart. Right? But if you keep on reading, you find some pretty good verses in there, like these, verses 15 through 17. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. I'm going to tell you, we've seen so much from King David, so much good, right? We've seen so much victory from King David. But if we focus on him defeating Goliath, and if we focus on him defeating Saul, and we focus on him defeating the Philistines, we might miss those moments where he fell, or those moments when he was broken, because here's what we see. The same God who was with him on the field with Goliath is the same God who's with him while he's on his face praying for a child that's going to die in 7 days. God don't change. His goodness don't change. His victory don't change. You might be in here today like overwhelmed with defeat, overwhelmed with discouragement. Here's my word to you. Pick your head up and see God. Pick your head up and do what David did. God, if you'll open up my lips, here's what I'll do. My mouth will declare your praise. You know what David was saying? David was saying, God, when I can't open my lips, will you open them up? Because if you'll open them up, I'm just going to pour out what's in my heart, and my heart is praise for you, God. And it's not incidental, and it's not passive. It's intentional. It's persistent. So when it comes to praising God, we know as Christ followers, we know as Christ followers who we are. We know whose we are, and we know why we are. You say, Brother Jeff, why do you keep bringing that up? How do you know that? Here's how I know that, because God's word says it. Are you ready? I don't know why I'm opening up, because I already know it by heart, but I'm going to make sure I get it right. I want you to turn with me, because I want you to see it with your own eyes. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. If you are a Christ follower in this room, if you are a child of God in this room, that means you've repented of your sin, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you belong to God. He is your Father. He is your rock. He is your shield. He is your stronghold. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's in Romans. And I know we're in 1 Peter, so I'm not going to make you turn back. So now let me tell you what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You ready? It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Now that's important. That's who you are, and that's whose you are. But that only answers two questions. Who are you and whose you are? There's a third question that needs to be answered, and you need to know. Why are you? Why are you? Because he says it right after he says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's chosen people, God's special possession. Here it is. You ready? So that you may declare the what? That was so weak. You sound like LSU playing Texas A&M. Weak. How about you sound like the Dodgers beating the Yankees for me, okay? So that you may declare the what? Praise. The praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. That's your purpose in this life. And there should be no circumstance that changes that. Brother Jeff, doesn't it say there's a time to grieve? Yes, but it also says I don't grieve like the world. Okay? I don't grieve like, yeah, there's going to be a time when I should grieve. There's going to be a time when I should fast and I should weep. But here's the thing, I'm a Christ follower. And my hope is in Jesus Christ. And nothing in this world should change my hope. Nothing in this world should change my belief. And I'm going to tell you something. Nothing in this world should change my praise. That's what I was created for. So how dare me let the enemy distract me, deceive me, and discourage me, and steal the joy that is rightfully mine through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But it's happening all day, every day. In your house and in mine. It's happening in the church. We just keep letting the enemy distract us, deceive us, and discourage us. And we just keep poking our little lip out and putting our little heads down and going, well, there ain't no hope. Are you kidding me? Jesus is the hope. And he ain't going nowhere. What did King David say in his psalm? He lives. That's what he said. He lives. Jesus ain't dead. He's alive. Jesus conquered death. And he conquered death so that you might live. Not just one day over there, right here, right now, forever. Amen. God deserves our praise. We ought to give it to him all day, every day, regardless of circumstances. We ought to praise him on the mountaintops. We ought to praise him in the valleys. We ought to praise him in our bedrooms. We ought to praise him on the microphones. We ought to praise him in the car on the way to work. We ought to praise him at work. We ought to praise him in Sunday school. We should keep praising him in here. And after the praise team comes up and does the invitation and we say amen after our prayer and we walk outside, we ought to keep on praising him. It should never stop. It should be persistent. It should be intentional. That's what it should be. The question is, will you? Will I? Are you giving God praise persistently? Are you giving God praise intentionally with all of your life? If you say, Brother Jeff, I'm not. Brother Jeff, I haven't been. Brother Jeff, it's hard. I get it. Because I'm going to tell you something. Like Dr. Tony Evans said about King David, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't clean in and of himself. He wasn't righteous in and of himself. He wasn't faithful in and of himself, but he possessed it. And so he could live out righteousness. He could live out faithfulness. He could live out praise. He had to make a choice. So here it is. If Jeff is having a hard time giving God praise persistently and intentionally, here's what Jeff needs to do. Jeff needs to repent and refocus. Okay? See, I don't even want to ask you. I'm just focused on me right now. Okay? If Jeff's got a problem with giving God praise all the time, persistently and intentionally, if Jeff is passive with his praise, if Jeff is incidental with his praise, here's the problem. It ain't with God, it's with Jeff. So here's what Jeff needs to do. Jeff needs to repent. Because that's not who Jeff was created to be. Jeff wasn't created to be a part-time Christ follower. Jeff wasn't created to give God praise when it's comfortable or when he decides. Jeff was created by God, for God, to live forever praising God. Forever pointing people to the God who delivers. To the God who is present. To the God who is righteous, to the God who is faithful, and to the God who is always victorious. See, when I repent and I refocus, now I can get up. Now I can get up. What did King David do in 2 Samuel chapter 12? Two words, I told you. It says he got up. He got up. When I repent and I refocus, I can get up. And I can live with power. And I can live out my purpose. But then and only then will it happen.